Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I am so glad you're here today. Y'all, it's March the 5th, and it is Super Tuesday. All right, so what is Super Tuesday? Why does it matter to you? Why should you care? Why am I asking you to get out and vote today? Let's just break it down. Let's get a little clarity around what it is, and hopefully I can motivate you to the polls today. All right, so it is Super Tuesday, and basically what that means, don't feel bad if you don't know what it means. I did not know what a primary election was until about 6 years ago. I'd never voted in one till I started getting involved in politics. I was clueless. So don't feel bad if that's you. I've got you, and we're going to talk through it today, and hopefully, like I said, I'll be able to motivate you to do something about it. But basically what today is it's the Republican primary, where we're going to choose between Trump and Nikki Haley, who we want to be our Republican nominee. Now, what happens here is that the majority of the states, those who have not already had their primary, which if you remember in Iowa, we talked about Iowa, they don't do a traditional primary. They have what's called a caucus, and we went through that in another podcast. New Hampshire, they did have a primary. That was the very first one for the year. And then South Carolina had theirs. There was kind of a caucus slash primary in Nevada. But the remaining states, majority of them will choose to vote today. So this is why it's called Super Tuesday, because there'll be a super turnout around the country, hopefully, to nominate the Republican that they want to step forward and go up against Joe Biden or whoever that might be in November. Okay, so it's really, really important. I've heard a lot of ladies say that they're just gonna sit home today, that the primary doesn't matter. It really, really matters. So here's why. So what will happen from here is when we go out and vote today, then there are a certain amount of delegates that each state is awarded. So it's really based on how many congressional districts we have. There's like a formula that they use to calculate it. But here in Tennessee, for instance, I'm pretty sure we have just shy of 60 delegates. I want to say it's like 58, 59, something like that. I think we have 58 delegates here in Tennessee that kind of go on our behalf based on the majority wishes of Tennessee. So like if everybody votes today and Trump is the, if he's the leading candidate, then if he kind of wins the primary today, then the delegates that are assigned, they're kind of like our election representatives, not elected officials, but I mean, they are actually elected because they're on the ballot too. But what I mean is our election representatives will then go to the Republican National Convention that'll happen in a couple of months. And they will basically speak for us at that convention. You may have seen some coverage of this on the news in the past where you see like this big auditorium and there'll be groups of people kind of gathered around a state sign. They have like this stick and the name of the state is on the sign and they're kind of standing there hovered around it. That means that those are the delegates from that state and they're going to cast their vote based on what the wishes are from their state for who they want that Republican nominee to be. So it's kind of a formality. It's like after today's results, when the results start coming in, we'll already know who the presumptive Republican nominee will be, but this is sort of the official process for at the Republican National Convention to officially put forward that Republican nominee. It's likely going to be Trump. I mean, I would say unless something crazy happens, it's going to be Trump. But this is our chance to go to the ballot today and say, yep, that's who we want. Or yep, if you're for Nikki Haley, whatever it is. Okay, so a lot of people are telling me that they don't think that it matters, that they think that Trump's going to get it anyway. So why should I even go vote? I got to tell you guys, it's our number one, it's our civic duty. Okay. We get to go vote. I want you guys to look at it a little bit differently. Like not I have to go vote or I don't want to go vote. Like think about, especially for women, all of the pain and suffering that women went through to just to get the right to make your voice heard, just to get to the right to go and cast a ballot. So I would implore you to think about it, that you get to go vote. It's a privilege to get to go do that. I know a lot of us have, you know, a bad taste in our mouth over the last, from the last couple of elections where you don't feel like the integrity of the elections is there. And I get that. But again, we've still got to go exercise our right to do that. And again, I think if people would just flood the polls, I think if more people, there's a very, very, very small number of people that actually turn out for the primaries. And I think a lot of people, I think that's why, because a lot of people just don't know what it means. But I wish we could get more people flooding those primaries and making your voice heard. And then I think we would get, there's so many good things that could come from that. Number one, it's courage like that, or an act like that, to go and make your voice heard, inspires other people to go do it. And we get so many more people participating in the election process. And also it makes it much harder for people to cheat and all if we just flood the polls, right? I just think it's important for us to do that. All right. So after today, once the votes are counted, they all come in tonight. Once we get those numbers today, and like I said, the Republican National Convention will happen next. Trump will be promoted, designated with the official nomination, and then we'll go toe to toe. We'll turn to the general election come November. Now, again, I don't think that Joe Biden is going to end up being the Democrat nominee. I really don't. He's declining. His poll numbers are in the toilet. I don't think they're going to risk it with Biden. I think they're trying to figure out a way to get somebody else to run. I think it's probably going to be Gavin Newsom. He's been making a lot of public waves lately and kind of coming into the spotlight a lot more. I think they're sort of grooming him for that. He's coming out and he's like, oh, you know, I'm for Joe. Joe's doing a great job. The economy's great. You know, I mean, the gaslighting. I mean, come on. Anyway, but I think he's coming out and kind of showing this show of support for Joe Biden. And then I think it's going to be sort of this, you know, humble, like, oh, I wish Joe could run, but since he can't, whatever excuse they come up why he can't continue on, I guess I'll step in and take one for the team. I think that's how it's kind of going to go. I could be totally wrong, but that's just my suspicion. I also am very concerned because we have got, and this is kind of the other thing I wanted to turn to today and cover, we have got mass migration, as a lot of you know, illegal migration, an invasion really at our southern border. And not only our southern border, but it's come to light in the last couple of days that Biden and his administration, they have actually been flying people in from around the world into private airports in the middle of the night and unloading them. So these people are not even having to go through traditional border checks, border security. So there's so many people coming in. And the next thing that they're pushing for is to eliminate voter ID. So you can imagine you've got now millions of people in our country. They say it's around 7-8 million. We all think it's much, much higher than that. But you get all of these people coming into the country, probably on a deal. Hey, we'll bring in if you vote Democrat. And then eliminating the voter ID laws in a lot of these states. And now all of these people can show up at the polls and vote Democrat. It takes the cheating to a whole new level. It shows the desperation that they have to remain in power. This has been the plan all along, to bring in all these people and then give them the ability to vote, grant them amnesty, give them citizenship, and or grant them the right to vote. So y'all, we have to show up. Like we have that. This is 7-8, maybe 10 million people, maybe more. But think about all of us in all these states that could show up and overwhelm the polls. So no matter how many they're bringing in to potentially give them voting access, we could still overwhelm the polls if we were motivated enough to vote. And I really hope that we will be. So. I want to share one thing with you guys that I've been sort of reluctant to share because it's very personal, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to share it with y'all. You know, we have a lot of people out there that are very sympathetic to people coming over the border. And I get that. I know we look to people who have actual need for amnesty. They are running from very horrific situations. They are running to us wanting a better life. My heart goes out to those people. And of course, we have compassion on them. But what is happening here is not that. We have a large, large amount of military age men coming into our country without families, without children, and they are getting cell phones and debit cards and awaiting their orders. That's very worrisome. Let's just look at a migrant, even if they are fleeing from a bad situation and coming into our country. Let's just look at that for a second. If they are going to break our laws initially just to even get into the country, the chances are pretty good that they are not going to keep our laws once they're here, and that they have no regard for them, no understanding of them. They have no idea of what our culture, how to assimilate into our culture. They're just here. They're dropped off on a bus or on a plane, and they're dispersed into our communities with no idea of how America works, what our customs are, what our traditions are, what our culture is like. Nothing. They're just here. So they're going to likely break more laws, even if it's just out of ignorance. But a lot of it's not out of ignorance. Okay, so what happened to me about, I guess it's been about 20 years ago now, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood, 20 some years ago. I was with my husband at the time. We were traveling back to Nashville from Atlanta. And my grandfather was on hospice. I didn't want to leave him. It was a really tough day. And I had been staying with my mom and helping to take care of him for several weeks. And I needed to get back to Nashville just to kind of come up here and take care of a few things. And I was planning to go right back down. Well, it was about 9 o'clock at night when we started home. And we stopped at a gas station off the interstate just to fuel up, get some coffee. It was going to be a long night driving and just kind of, you know, get ready for the trip. So we finished pumping gas and we're walking into the gas station to pay for it and go to the bathroom, get our coffee. And as we're and it was a pretty big gas station. It was like a QT and it was good distance between the pumps and the door. Right. So we're here at the pumps. We're walking across the parking lot. We get about halfway across and we see this truck kind of down parked, you know, down in one of the lower parking spaces. He was a good distance from us. He pulls out of his parking spot and kind of backs out and then he stops. Well, we thought he was stopping to let us go on in to the store. So we, you know, started to walk and he just guns it, just guns the gas. And he's coming at us and I just froze. Like I didn't know what to do. You know, it's one of those situations where you just kind of freeze. And so he hit me and I had on these little shoes where you just kind of step into them. You kind of slip them on. They're a little bit of a heel. And he knocked me out of my shoes and I was knocked out of them and I was knocked across the parking lot. Fell back onto my tailbone and then I fell back and I hit my head. And when he stopped his truck, I remember watching him come at me. He was still coming forward. And I remember just seeing his tire coming right at my head. And when he stopped, he was about to roll right over me. When he stopped, I could have kissed his tire. It was that close to my head. And he stopped. He backed up. He got out of the truck just for a second. This was a Toyota Sonoma, I think it was. A Tacoma is what it was. He got out of the truck. It's like a mid-sized truck. He gets out of the truck. He comes around just to see if we're dead, I guess. Gets back in the truck and then flees the scene. Now, I'm laying there. I felt very strongly. I knew I was really hurt. I had broken bones. I was bleeding internally. I had all this stuff going on, right? And he flees the scene. Well, they get me in the ambulance. They, you know, and they get us to a hospital. We, all this stuff happens. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we get a call from one of the police officers, and he's like, just very excited because they found the guy. They found him. It turns out that one of the guys that was in the gas station recognized him. He worked for his brother. His brother owned a tire shop nearby. And this was one of his brother's illegal employees. And he was here from Honduras illegally with no green card, nothing. He was working for the brother. He was staying in a little apartment above the tire shop. And he had had a bunch of friends over. They were having a party and they needed more beer. And so this guy borrowed a customer's truck, put a different license plate on it. Like, he had the wherewithal to put a different license plate on it, and then drove that truck up to get the beer, hit and ran me and, again, my husband at the time, and left us there, very injured, very hurt, left there, and fled the scene. When he got back to the tire shop, he disassembled the license plate, he hid the truck, and then he went back up to the party. So the only reason why they were able to find him is because, I said, one of the people in the store recognized him, and he was scared to turn him in. He was scared to report it because he was scared his brother would get in trouble. But he had an attack of conscience and decided it was the right thing to do. So they were able to track this guy down, find him, and all that. So my point is that this guy obviously had no insurance, and for 2 years, we had massive medical bills that we had to pay, missed work, all kinds of stuff that we were on our own. Thank God we had good insurance, and our auto insurance actually helped because it involved automobiles that hit us and everything. We were able to get some relief and help from State Farm, but we were on our own. So this guy's here illegally, already broke the law to get here, broke more laws to go get beer for the party, and then hit and ran and could have left us for dead, and ran out of fear because he would be deported. So this is the behavior. We're already seeing so many other crimes taking place, violent crimes. I mean, I think in our case, that was an accident, but there are already other people that are intentionally here to hurt, to kill, steal, and destroy, because that's what an enemy does. So I just want you, if you're on the fence about a lot of these people coming across the border, feeling all this compassion and everything for them, there is a right way to come into our country, and then there is a wrong way. And Biden assisting all of these people to come illegally, to break the law, this again goes against our load-bearing walls of our country, the rule of law, peace through strength, all of these load-bearing walls, these 7 founding values that I talk about all the time in my app and everything. This is what we have to keep intact and understand that when we're looking at an administration that's saying, but this is the soul of our nation, we are a nation of immigrants, all of this, we have to know where the true north is so that we can gauge wrong behavior. And this is 100% wrong, what he's doing, shipping people in here with the intention of giving them the right to vote, thinking that that will help them maintain their power. So on this Super Tuesday, I implore you, please go vote. Please overwhelm the polls. We have to do that, not just today on the primary Super Tuesday, but also come November. Come the primary that's going to happen in our state in August, you know, where we're trying to elect our state representatives and all that. So anytime there's an opportunity to vote, we need to exercise that right. We get to go vote. One of my friends, Beverly, was telling me today that she grew up in a household where her parents said, even if the dog catcher is running, we're going to show up and vote because we get to. It's so important for us to make our voice heard. And I think this is why our country is being just, you know, ripped right out from under us, because we have this apathy. We're not exercising that right to go do that. We think, oh, it won't matter. Oh, my vote doesn't count. Oh, they're just going to cheat anyway, whatever. Well, you know what? If enough people would show up and vote, If even half of the country would show up and vote, I think right now it's like 20% of people, of eligible voters, actually turn out to vote. Don't quote me on that, but it is a very low number. And if even half of us would get that fire in our belly to turn out, we could have a massive impact on not only today, but in November as well. So please, I beg you, please vote. please go vote. You get to vote. It's a right that's given to us as citizens in this country. Please don't sit home. Don't sit on the couch. Go vote. And I'd love it if in the app, by the way, I want to tell you this too, in the app, we have a community in the app that's very similar to Facebook. I'm going to start using that a whole lot more, coming less on the traditional platforms of Facebook and Instagram and all that. We're going to be doing a lot more interaction inside the app. And I'd love if you go in the app and post your I voted sticker. I'd love to see them. I'll give you a thumbs up and a big virtual hug for showing up at the polls today. So go vote. All right, let's do our parting prayer and I'll let you go. Father God, I thank you so much that we live in a country where we still have the opportunity to vote. Lord, I know that there are a lot of legitimate reasons why people would want to sit home. But Lord, I ask you to please motivate them more and help them see that getting the opportunity to elect our leaders is a privilege. It's a privilege unique to America. So Lord, I ask you to do that. And Father, I ask that if anybody is plotting any cheating schemes or anything that would disrupt or derail our democratic republic, I pray, Lord, that they would fall in their own trap. And that, Lord, that it would not be derailed. That our integrity in our election process would be restored. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And as your people turn back to you, and Lord, that we have a reignition of patriotism and love for our country here, that Lord, we would flood the polls and that people would just find it a privilege again to be able to go and vote. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we live in America. We thank you, Lord, that you're turning us back to you so that you will heal our land. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies, thanks so much for joining me here today. And I look forward to seeing your I voted stickers in the app. Please put them there for me. And whatever you do, go vote. All right, lady up. Lady up around this town. Victory all about.